Welcome to the replay of our live weekly career coaching session. I am Michael Sherlock, the founder and leader of the Enlightened Workplace Community, where employees and leaders embark on a transformative journey towards enlightenment. Throughout my career, I have made it my purpose to guide professionals who are committed to their career development. I've successfully led teams of over 500 employees at a time, so I know firsthand how a person can grow in their career. I continue to do this today in our dynamic and engaging community where we collectively learn and develop together.
The theme for today is called Doctor, Heal Thyself. Doctor, heal thyself. Doctor, heal thyself. You probably are all on here going, well, I'm not a doctor, so what is that all about? But we are going to talk about how we have to look sometimes at ourselves in a different way, and we're going to have some fun with it. But I'm first going to start, like often, with a story that makes fun of me. That actually points out in my failings what I'm trying to talk about today for all of us to reflect on. So yesterday I had a dentist appointment. And many of those of you who have been with us a while know that a little more than a year ago, moved across the country to Houston, Texas. And in that process, when you move, you have to find new doctors, find new dentists. You have to start all over. Even if you really, really liked your doctor and your dentist, you got to start over. So I had taken a long time to figure out where I wanted to go for my new dentist. I have a lot of interesting challenges with my teeth, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute. But a dentist is a very kind of, a doctor and dentist, they're all very personal. So I wasn't quite sure who to go to. I had a couple recommendations from people, but I finally just went with my gut. And I found this new dentist's office. And I went in to see them in August for the first time. And great, really super nice people. It was a great overall experience. However, they did something that I've never had done before. They did an actual full head scan of me. And it was like this weird, like three-dimensional scan of my entire head and neck. So what came out of that was something that was very disturbing to me. Number one, they said, it's clear that you have what we call a collapsing windpipe. Now that sounds terrible, doesn't it? A collapsing windpipe, that sounds really scary, which it kind of is. The second thing is they said, it looks like you have arthritis in your jaw. And I went, that's weird, except for later I realized it wasn't because I have a TMJ, which I never know what that stands for, except for last word is jaw, but my jaw pops. And it can be very painful or very uncomfortable, especially if you're having a lot of dental work. And so then the third thing that came up in that scan was on this side of my jawbone, that they asked me if I'd ever had, they said, well, wait, you've had your wisdom teeth out. I said, yep, I had all four of my wisdom teeth. They asked me if I'd ever been told that I might have another wisdom tooth down below that hadn't surfaced. And I said, no, I've never been told that. So what happened out of this whole session was three big concerns. Number one is they wanted me to go see a sleep specialist. She was asking me questions about my windpipe and whether I snored and things. And I don't snore very often unless I have a cold or something. And then the second thing is she said, I don't think there's a problem with what we see on your jaw, but I'd like you to go see an oral surgeon. And they're probably going to say that they're going to look at the film and they're probably going to say, you know, we'll take a look at it again in 6 months or a year. She said, I don't think it's anything, but I just want you to go see the oral surgeon. And then we're going to talk about whether or not you need a mouth guard to deal with the TMJ. So what came out of this is two referrals that scared me. They scared me. You know, to be told you have a collapsing windpipe is a little terrifying. But when they told me to go see a sleep specialist, I thought, well, that's really weird. I actually, you know, live in a family or with a family with many people who had sleep apnea, and I don't have that. And I thought, well, why go see a sleep specialist? I actually, when I was in pharmaceutical sales, used to call on sleep specialists. I'm like, I don't need to go do a sleep study. I don't want to go sit in, you know, in the room and have them watch me sleep all night. That's very uncomfortable, just to tell me I don't have sleep apnea. And then I thought, I don't really want to go see this oral surgeon, because if I go there, they're just going to tell me that they're going to wait and see it in 6 to 9 months or a year. So I think I can just wait. But what I was really doing was avoiding the reality of good advice. And I hadn't asked a lot of questions when they told me all this stuff. It was very scary. It was very new. It was very shocking. I was very afraid of it. It was very fearful. And as I got this news, first I kind of panicked, and then I kind of went within myself. And then I started justifying all the reasons that this doctor, this dentist, probably didn't know what she was talking about. And she probably only sends people there to get referrals, so she gets a kickback bonus, you know, for me coming to go to the sleep specialist. I had 100 reasons why I shouldn't follow her advice. Then I went in yesterday. So 6 months later, I go in for my cleaning. And one of the things I find out is that I've cracked another tooth. And the reason I crack teeth is because I grind my teeth, or I used to a lot. And then I didn't for a long time. I've learned how to manage my stress through meditation and lots of other things. So I haven't been clenching my jaw or grinding my teeth, except for the last 6 months I have been. Isn't that interesting? She said, there is a significant amount of new wear and tear on your teeth in the last 6 months, and you've cracked another tooth. And the one we were looking at before that had probably been cracked for a while looks worse. And now all of a sudden I thought, huh. And I said, you know, doctor, I'd like to ask you a couple questions, because you gave me all these referrals last time and all this news, and it was really overwhelming. And honestly, I did nothing with it. And I said, so can you explain to me, first of all, why you want me to go see the sleep specialist? I said, because if you think it's just sleep apnea, I don't have it. And she said, oh, it's really not about sleep apnea. She goes, I doubt that you have sleep apnea either, but I do believe you have another sleep disorder. And I think the sleep disorder is because of your collapsing windpipe. And because of that disorder, you are now clenching your jaw more and grinding your teeth more as protection when you fall deeply asleep, so that you can keep breathing. And I went, oh. And she said, so what I'd like to talk to you about is creating a mouth guard that is based on what they find, because there are several different types of sleep disorders. And I want to make sure we get you the right one, because I will build you an appliance based on that type. And if I don't do that, we might make something for you that doesn't work, or it's uncomfortable and it doesn't help. And I went, oh, okay. So what you were really saying is go see the sleep doctor so we can do the next thing to protect my mouth. And so I said, okay, so now what about this arthritis in my jaw? And she said, well, that's because you are clenching so much harder, but I really actually believe it's a sleep issue, not a jaw issue. And I went, oh. And so then I told her why I'd hesitated to go to the oral surgeon. And I said, but by this point in time, I just feel silly, because what I've done here is I've wasted 6 months where I could have been sleeping better. I could have avoided damage to my tooth that I just cracked. And I probably have been grinding my teeth and clenching more in the last 6 months, because subconsciously I'm worried about all these things. Whereas if I would have dealt with them 6 months ago, I'd already be on a path to either knowing if there was something wrong and fixing it, or knowing there's nothing wrong and sleeping better. Man, it sucked. But I came back and I immediately scheduled the appointments. I have the sleep meeting next Thursday. The oral surgeon I won't get into for a couple more weeks, but I feel better about it just knowing I have it. So why this story to kick us off today and talk about Dr. Heal Thyself? When I was earlier in my career, when people would give me feedback on my performance, I would often find 100 reasons in my brain why they were wrong. It would make me uncomfortable. I thought maybe by getting feedback that didn't show me as a perfect, amazing, fabulous human being that was excellent at everything she did, that maybe I should just pretend it doesn't happen or doesn't exist, or just avoid it or disbelieve it or try and prove it wrong or get defensive or hide in my shell. What that cost me was a lot of opportunity. I still had a lot of great opportunity. I was a great employee. I have done amazing things in my career. I have had successes that were just phenomenal. But I also wasted a lot of time. A lot of time where I could have been getting better. A lot of time where I could have been excelling. A lot of time where I would have slept so much better. Because decades ago, that stress from worrying about whether I was perfect kept me from sleeping and made me do a lot of grinding of my teeth and clenching of my jaw. Wasted a lot of time. But what I really wasted was my opportunity. My opportunity. In those moments where I fought somebody else or fought the things they wanted to share with me, I was fighting myself. Sucks to look in the mirror and feel that. And yet, when you look in the mirror and look at it, you go, oh, what if I would have looked in this mirror earlier? Or how about, can I just say, I'm glad I'm looking in the mirror right now? So what this comes down to is our willingness to be that doctor to ourselves, to tell ourselves what needs to be more awareness in our lives, in our business, in our careers, and their willingness to listen to that doctor. So obviously I started out with Dr. Doctor by the Thompson Twins, which really is a song about love. But as I was looking at the lyrics again, I'm like, isn't this about loving yourself? Isn't it about loving yourself? Can you love yourself more by giving yourself good advice and then listening to it? Can't you love yourself more by recognizing when something's in the way of your own career goals and choosing to not only see what's in the way, which often is our own struggle that we put in the way, and then making the conscious decision to move those things out of the way? Isn't that more loving and kind to ourselves? Isn't that also more respectful of our company, our business, our nonprofit, our entrepreneurship? How do we show greater love and respect to ourselves, to the business that pays us a paycheck, to the vision and mission of our nonprofit, to your entrepreneurial goals, to your studies? Don't we owe it to ourselves to treat ourselves with more love and respect and therefore create more? So we are focused all this year on achieving each of our professional goals. And some of us have goals that are going to take all year to come to fruition. Some of us had goals that are going to have big milestones at different points in the year. And we're halfway done with Q1. We're halfway done with Q1 of 2024. So I wanted you to ask yourself, when I look at my major goal or goals, am I on track? Am I off track? Have I even gotten on the track? And no matter what your answer is, now's the time for reflection. If you're on track, how are you going to keep that going? How are you going to keep that momentum going? How are you going to pat yourself on the back? How are you going to keep yourself excited about that? Because if you have a whole year goal, halfway through Q1 might feel really good and you might let it slide, or you might not. If you're working towards it, but you're a little off track, a little behind schedule, can you use the process we're going to go through today to get yourself slowly adjusted back? And if you haven't even gotten to the train station to get on the track, well, this process hopefully will get you there. So wherever you're sitting, pull out your pen and paper or your phone or whatever you're taking notes on and get ready. Now, if you are riding, in a car or on a bus and you're listening to this, you're going to have to kind of mentally go through the process if you don't have something to write with. But here we go. I want you to write this question. I want you to write this question. When I get a new challenge, when I get a new challenge at work, I blank. When I get a new challenge at work, I blank. So this might be a new project, a new assignment, a new awareness, a new kind of set of guidance for what your job is, your role. When I get a new challenge, I blank. And then I want you to fill in that blank. It might be when I get a new challenge, I am overwhelmed. When I get a new challenge, I am excited. When I get a new challenge, I am a little nervous. When I get a new challenge, I'm curious. When I get a new challenge, I freak out. When I get a new challenge, I hide from it. When I get a new challenge, I embrace it. There is no right or wrong answer to this question. There is only your truth. Question number two, when I feel challenged at work, when I feel challenged at work, meaning that you feel that somebody's challenging the job you do, the output you do, your work ethic, when I feel challenged at work, I blank. I panic. I'm excited. I hide. I embrace it. I'm defensive. I'm open. There's no right or wrong answer. It doesn't have to just be one word. That one might be a little tougher to answer. Now we're peeling back the layers a little bit. Now we're saying, Michael, why are you fighting going to the sleep doctor when you just want to say, but I don't have sleep apnea? Well, because I was afraid, because I was nervous, because it was uncomfortable. Question number three, my current biggest challenge at work is blank. My current biggest challenge at work is blank. My current biggest challenge is dealing with a new project. My current biggest challenge is dealing with a new employee. My current biggest challenge is whatever. Now, I want you to read through what you just wrote. When I get a new challenge at work, I blank. When I feel challenged at work, I blank. My current biggest challenge at work is blank. Just let those settle in for a minute. What kind of things do these answers bring up in you? Do they make you uncomfortable? Do they make you proud? Do they make you nervous? Do they make you aware? Do they make you dedicated? Do they make you energized? Doesn't matter. There's no right and there's no wrong. There just is. My jaw arthritis in my jaw is neither right nor wrong. It just is. My collapsing windpipe is neither right nor wrong. It just is. Whatever ends up on my jawline is neither right nor wrong. It just is. The answer to what is right and wrong is what we do with these things. So as you're looking at this, now I want you to become your own doctor. But actually, even before you become the own doctor, I want you to think about the doctor being that family doctor who you've known forever. They've seen you through scraped knees. They've seen you through your tonsils being removed. They've seen you change into adulthood. They have been a friend of the family. They've come over for dinner. They actually care about you. This is the person that you do tell the truth to. This is the doctor who, when they say, how much fast food are you eating, that you're actually telling them, I go to McDonald's three times a week, which is not true. I don't do that. But this is the family doctor you actually trust. You know that they care about you. You will tell them the answers because you know they will not judge you. And now I want you to wear that physician's coat and answer this question. What loving advice would I give to myself if I was my own doctor? What loving, caring advice would I give to myself if I was my own doctor? Now, loving, caring also means sometimes difficult, open, honest discussions. I'm going to give you an example that's very it's kind of an obnoxious example, but I was thinking about this as I was prepping for this, and it kind of reminded me back in college. So let's say that your true biggest challenge right now is getting up out of bed on time every day to get to work. And so let's say your biggest challenge is lately you've been late to work, you're the last one in the office door, and it's causing a problem. And I know this is just a really obnoxious example because most of you are probably like, I would never be late to work, or at least not nonstop, or not because I can't get myself out of bed. But there's a reason I'm using this as an example to say, if my true challenge was getting out of bed every day to get into the office on time, my loving, caring doctor would not say, oh, that's okay. I'm sure you'll get better. Oh, it's just a shame that they expect you to be to work on time. Now, the doctor's first going to probably say, are you sure it's not a health condition? Do you have narcolepsy? What are you doing? You know, then the doctor's going to ask you questions like, are you staying up too late? Are you on a new medication? You know, that doctor's going to ask you good logical questions to see if there's a root cause of why you can't get up out of bed every morning. But if eventually you say, no, I'm not on any new medications, I just really like to stay up late and scroll through social media. And so sometimes I fall asleep really, really late, and then it's really hard to get out of bed. Now that loving, caring doctor is not going to say, aw, that's all right. You'll do better. That doctor is going to say, put down the dang phone. Turn it off. Get that blue light out of your eyes. Don't let your phone make a ringing sound. Set your alarm. And if you say, okay, you're right, but doctor, I just really still have trouble getting out of bed, then the loving, caring doctor may say, how can I help? And if you say, I'll tell you what, tomorrow, just to get tomorrow, make tomorrow happen, because you're my good friend and you live next door, will you knock on my door and make sure I'm awake tomorrow? Now, if that doctor is a really good, loving, caring friend, he might say, or she might say, yes, sure, I'll knock on your door tomorrow. And then the next day you're like, that worked so great. Can you come knock on my door again tomorrow? Now, if it's a really good, loving, caring friend, the doctor might say, all right, I'll do it one more time. But then after that, if you say, oh, it's so great to have you come knock on my door every morning, will you come every morning to knock on my door? That loving, caring doctor is going to say, no, get your tuchus out of bed and get the job done. This is what we reference on my team as the Dear Advisor post every day. The Dear Advisor post really, really at its heart and soul is that question of what is my greatest challenge today? And as my own loving, caring advisor or doctor, what advice am I truly giving myself? So if you put things on this list like, well, you know, I just don't feel like everybody likes me and I'm not comfortable with changes, things that are going on, your dear advisor might, or your dear doctor might say, I know it's tough going through change. But after the second day, they'll say, I know it's tough going through change, but you have to do it. By the third day, that loving dear advisor or dear doctor is going to say, you better figure out how you're going to deal with this change. I can't help you forever. I can only guide you. You have to make the decision. You have to make the decision. We have to make the decision. When we don't make the decision, we wait 6 months before starting treatment for something that could have made me much healthier 6 months ago. Before starting our own treatment plan, we might let our career or our career goals struggle, suffer, be damaged by our decisions not to move, our decisions not to take that advice. I'm not saying it's always easy, because sometimes it's really, really tough, but it starts with a change. It starts with one change. Now, let's go back to this. Question number one that I ask is, when I get a new challenge at work, Now I want you to write a new statement. When I used to get a new challenge at work, I would fill in the blank with whatever you had. When I used to get a new challenge at work, I would hide from it, be stressed out, be excited, embrace it. Then if your answer wasn't positive, excited, stimulated, then I want you to have the flip. So if before it was, when I used to get a new challenge at work, I would get nervous and uncomfortable. But now I choose to ask more questions, to be more curious, to assume positive intent, to see it as a challenge that's going to make me better. I want your statement to be this first part of this flip. When I used to, and think about this used to, the used to was 25 minutes ago before we started this session today. That was your used to. But now I choose. Use the word I choose. I choose to instead do this. Now, the caveat to this is if you said, when I get a new challenge at work, I'm excited by the opportunity, then I want you to say, I used to get very excited about the opportunity. Now I choose to maintain my excitement by collaborating more, asking more questions, celebrating my successes, whatever. Keep the positive going. If your answer was positive, keep the positive going, recognizing that the goal is to keep that momentum. Question number two, when I used to feel, or how about like when I feel challenged at work, I used to feel, or I used to whatever, when I'm challenged at work, I used to be defensive. But now I choose to assume positive intent. Now I choose to ask more open-ended questions. I choose to take it as an opportunity to grow rather than a commentary on my character. So when I feel challenged at work, I used to do this, but now I choose to do this. So number three, my current biggest challenge is whatever it is, but after consulting with my doctor, I see the opportunity as this. So in other words, I might say my current biggest challenge is the new project that I'm facing that's stressing me out. But I now choose to see it as an opportunity to communicate better with my team. I now see it as an opportunity to learn more about myself. I now see it as an opportunity to get back on track with my goal. No right or wrong answer, only your truth. So after consulting with my doctor, I have decided to get myself out of bed every day. I have decided to use 3 alarm clocks. I have decided to go to bed early instead of staying up scrolling through my phone. Whatever your answer to the third question is, it is what your current challenge is and now how you choose to view it as an opportunity for blank. Our doctors are talking to us all the time, but sometimes we are afraid to hear of what they say to us. We're always good at giving other people advice. We don't always take it ourselves. And yet, the most loving thing we can do for ourselves is to listen to that doctor within us that cares about us. So as we move forward and we go into the second half of Q1, we still have success at our fingertips. Even if you haven't gotten to the railway station, we get into comfort zones for protection. For protection. If I don't leave my comfort zone, I think I am protecting myself. But what I'm really doing is allowing the world to pass by me. The comfort zone of our cocoon is just part of the lie that we tell ourselves, like those doctors and nurses smoking the cigarettes outside of the hospital. My advice is for other people. I know my own body, so therefore I can have this cigarette. That's a comfort zone that is a lie to ourselves. But our reality has to be to speak the truth. Let's not have our dear doctor messages or dear advisor messages be platitudes. Let's have them be honest discussions. Let's have the honest discussions. Let's show what we are made of in reality, not just in our minds.
Thank you for completing the session today. Your journey doesn't end here. Make sure to supplement what you learned today by completing the suggested assignments that will contribute to your ongoing growth and progress. While many individuals aspire to develop their careers, not everyone is willing to make the necessary commitment and maintain consistency in their development. It's important to remember that true progress and advancement requires dedication. If you have any questions or feedback, please post it on the virtual water cooler. And in case you missed any of our previous sessions, don't worry. Gold and Platinum members access them on our training platform anytime. If you aren't yet a Gold or Platinum member, click on the upgrade link to learn more. But for now, we'll see you in our next live session.